Welcome to Your Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott. Textual healing.
So it's 420. It's actually 420. We're releasing this episode a day early than we normally do to honor 420. Is that right? Is 420 Wednesday? Yes.
420 is Wednesday, the day that you are listening to this.
We are recording this in the future, and I just had a moment of debilitating brain syndrome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Brent.
No, I was just going
to
say
you have something to make fun of, and I need to hear it.
Well, no, and it's nothing to make fun of, Alan. I'm not going to call you boring. I'm not going to call you learned. It's just your mic froze for a minute, so I was like a second behind. But you know what? You know, Zoom's so good about it. It always catches you up. It always catches you up. Unlike Google Meets, which I have been working with a group of people who will only use Google Meets, and Google Meets is a goddamn disaster.
Yeah, I agree.
And the audio cuts out, and then they just don't give it to you again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Zoom, you know, when the audio cuts out on Zoom, it'll give you like the audio, but kind of fast for like a minute, so you get caught up. Google Meets fucking sucks. It's
this
so
feels
annoying.
Like a situation to get sponsored by Zoom, which
you know what?
It'd be great.
I think they need it right now. I think they've had a bad 2 years.
Yeah, I think so. I wonder if. I wonder if people listening are surprised that we're not recording in person.
No. You know, that actually comes up when I'm walking down the street and I get, you know, people are usually shouting from cars, pulling me over, saying, I need to ask you about the podcast. I always have, obviously, I have a security guard with me now. But people are always like, you guys record in person, right?
You have a security guard to go into 7-Eleven to buy a 99-cent cheesesteak.
As Elliot always makes fun of my neighborhood, saying that, you know, you leave my building and someone is actually taking a shit onto it, which happened recently. I was leaving my building and a guy was shitting onto my building.
That's like how my dog shits onto trees sometimes.
Yeah.
But I always say that you always, you know, crow about downtown, and it makes me laugh because it's like, I think once recently you said like downtown LA, the best neighborhood in like Los Angeles. And I was like, yeah, that's the neighborhood that the Beach Boys wrote about, DTLA. Skid Row, the scariest place.
Yeah, I am not in Skid Row.
You're very far from it. You're actually not very close to it. But no, so today it is 420, and because we are sponsored by Delicious Can,
which we all love and embrace.
We love sip, ching, love it so much. It's so delicious, can't get enough of it. So this entire episode today is about cannabis related stuff because we love cans so much.
Love cans so
yum
much. It's yum. The perfect social tonic. 2 milligrams of CBD, 4 milligrams two milligrams of THC, 4 milligrams of CBD. What more could you want?
Nothing. And I was with a friend recently who had the like to-go packets, which I don't even remember that they existed.
They have to-go packets?
Yes, like Crystal Light almost, basically.
Right, like Crystal Light, Alan's right up your alley.
It was like Crystal amazing. Light. Yeah, she loves them. She swears by them, and she's a mom, so it's important.
Oh, that's
I'm going to officially send this audio to Can to request some of that because try some of that. I love anything that you can pour into a water situation.
It's true.
So speaking of delicious, beverages, actually not these, this beverage is not delicious. The one I'm about to bring up that Brent and I have had fights about this, but Pepsi is launching a hemp seed infused energy drink aimed at helping people relax. In America, I feel like there is a polar, like politics are very polar. So many things are polar, but one thing that has been polar even before the polarization of the current political atmosphere is the debate over Pepsi or Coke. I firmly am in the camp that Pepsi is bullshit. I will stick with my can you know, nice little cannabis drink and not buy into that Pepsi bullshit. Once Coke comes to the market, I would question my loyalty because I want to stay with Can, but I also love Coke. So I don't know what I would do there. Thank God I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Thank God we don't have to cross that bridge. So, all right, look, everyone who knows me knows I absolutely love soda in every form. I of course have to tip my hat to Coke for creating what is perhaps the most important beverage in the history of mankind.
Yes.
That said, I like Pepsi. I think it's really good.
Bullshit.
I like it's a little bit more vanilla-y, it's a little sweeter. Oh. And I enjoy it very much. What do you think, Elliot?
I prefer Coke. I think Pepsi's okay. It's a, you know, if the waitress or waiter is like, we only have Pepsi, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to put it on them, but I'm like, yeah, I guess so. But I think Coke is far superior, but also I drink Diet Coke, you know, like a Long Island.
I started drinking Diet Coke. Yeah.
And it's great. I think I prefer Diet Coke to Coke and Coke Zero. But every now and then I will never forget. I had lunch with RuPaul one time.
Oh, right.
And RuPaul was like, he eats quite healthfully, but he was like, I will have a Mexican Coke. I'm allowing myself this. And I was like, what is so great about Mexican Coke? And he was like, oh, you don't even understand.
Yeah.
And now I realize that, like, especially being in LA, it's like, oh, Mexican Coke is
a really
delicious, syrupy, sugary drink that does taste pretty remarkable.
There is something delicious about a Mexican Coke. I love a Mexican Coke. It is like...
And the bottle.
It's the bottles. Yeah, it has to come from a bottle. It's so refreshing, so delicious. It's just... Oh, but so is a regular Coke. So is a regular can of Coke.
See, but I will honestly say that to me, there's a huge difference between a liter, a bottle, and a can and glass.
Oh yeah,
aluminum and glass. Like the little Diet Coke bottles are great. The cans are like perfect. And then like a liter, it's not the same thing.
The plastic
I don't like the plastic. Bullshit. As much.
Yeah, that's just like, that reminds me of every single like grade school party I didn't get invited to.
Yeah.
See them setting out the 2 liter sodas. And so fuck the 2 liter soda. But I think it has, to me, the best way to drink a soda, the absolute best way in America to drink a soda is to get a big glass of like the ice from, and then you get the fountain soda.
Oh yes. God.
The correct. Fountain soda at 7-Eleven makes me so fucking hard. I get such a fucking boner from like,
I was waiting to see if you're going to say happy or horny, but hard. I didn't see
hard. Yeah. I was thinking maybe moist.
I get hard from pouring that soda into that big gulp, taking that big old straw, punching it into the top. And then taking that sip as I walk out eating my Slim Jim. It is so good.
Now, what's your take on like a Mountain Dew, a Dr. Pepper, a root beer, sort of the deeper cut?
I love a root beer and a Coca-Cola Freestyle machine. A Coca-Cola Freestyle machine also gets me hard. Wow. Yeah. Those machines are just, I want one in my apartment. It would be bad, but I want one. But at the Freestyle machines, what I do oftentimes at the movie theaters, I will start with a diet root beer before the movie. Like I'll have it at the drink it during the movie. Then when I'm leaving the film on the way home, I will refill at the Freestyle machine for like a Coke Zero Cherry for the way home.
Okay.
Delicious. Yeah, Coke, the cherry is important. That's the best.
I once went to the Coca-Cola store in Las Vegas with a friend. Yeah. And we did, you know, I don't know if everyone knows this, but you can get a flight of different sodas from around the world that Coke at one point presumably had owned different soda companies.
Yeah.
And you can get like 16 of them. And it's the most fun I've ever had in my life. Most of them are horrible.
Yeah.
There was one from like China. It was like supposedly a plum soda, but it tastes like barbecue sauce.
I've had that.
Hated it.
Not
it
good.
So wait. You hated it, but don't you like Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, so Elliot has always maintained that Dr. Pepper is plum flavored.
Not.
And God love you, Elliot. I just don't taste it. I don't taste that.
I do, unless I was misinformed.
I will say that, no, I don't believe it's plum. I could be wrong, but I don't know what Dr. Pepper is. Brent, you want to look that up real quick while I make
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, you look it up.
Dr. Pepper is not made of prune juice, nor does it have any part prune juice in it. It's a made of a blend of fruit extracts.
Amazing.
So there you go.
I will say that Dr. Pepper... Dr. Pepper. Now, there's if there is one soda that could come from my heart in the way that Coke has my heart, it is Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is delicious.
It's delicious. It's just, absolutely delicious.
It's a sophisticated soda, but it's for every person. It's for the regular American. It is. And the diet Dr. Pepper is just as delicious. It's, it's more delicious than Diet Coke, but the Dr. Pepper Zero is
so very good.
Mind blowing.
Get back to the to get back to the Pepsi though. It shocks me that Pepsi is delving into this category.
Oh, why?
And even after Crystal Pepsi?
Yeah, right.
that was a like, risk. This like, is a risk
what,
too.
What did the article say, Alan? Like, is it like is there no THC in it, right?
No, it's hemp, and so there's it's like hemp, what right. hemp is, which is gets you more sort of like a. Like kind of like what a melatonin would do, you know what I mean? It's like a natural sort of relaxation, but it is a part of, I guess, that cannabis related products in that it does have sort of, you know, that effect on you. Yeah.
Bear in mind that it's not Pepsi, it's PepsiCo, and it's in their Rockstar energy drinks.
But PepsiCo owns.
So right, right. Yeah, I was thinking Pepsi, but it's really the Rockstar.
Yeah. But it still has like a Pepsi like type logo on it, right? Like it still has.
No, it's a different thing.
Oh, you're right.
Rockstar, I think, is a little different. Also, well, quite frankly, Pepsi. No offense. I'm not interested. I'm spoken.
Either way,
I'm spoken for. Can has filled the void in my life. Not even joking. So, well, first of all, I wanted to warn you guys, there has been a moth in my apartment for the last day. And I am terrified of it. And they fly too fucking fast. It just creeps me out. And I mean, I've literally, every time it shows up, it's like, it'll be silent for like 12 hours. And then all of a sudden it will fly like around my head.
Yeah.
Intensely for like 10 minutes. So if you hear me screaming at any point, it's because I have my fly swatter next to me.
My cat, the fact that you have a fly swatter is funny to me.
Yeah.
Frazier loves when a moth makes its way into the apartment and it just becomes a big game for my cat, which I enjoy watching. So I
bugs creep me out. They're tiny dinosaurs. They're huge. Like they're tiny, terrifying tiny things.
Dinosaurs.
They are
so astute and so funny.
They're really scary.
That's what blew me away with Jurassic Park. And also that there were seven people running a park with dinosaurs. But that bugs are essentially like, maybe dinosaurs.
Yeah. Birds too.
Yeah. Birds
and lobsters are big bugs in the ocean. And yet we eat them all the time. Yeah. But I wouldn't eat a bug.
I'm not a fan of lobster. Isn't that weird?
Oh, wow.
Me either. I'm not either. I don't care for it.
I prefer crab. I like a crab. But lobster, we go to this crab bake sort of place. It's like a Cajun crab thing, but it's in Koreatown. It's all ran by it's a big thing in Koreatown. And I got the lobster ones and I was like, if there's this much work into eating, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Elliot has definitely had crabs a lot.
Oh God.
So, we wanted to give a little bit of a preamble to our guest this week. We are joined by a wonderful entrepreneur who is opening up an LGBT owned dispensary in downtown Los Angeles. And we will have a discussion with him in just a moment.
That also caters to the LGBT community.
It also caters to the community. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Andres Rigal was delightful enough to join us. Now he's a very busy man and he is opening this store very soon. It's literally going to be open within a couple weeks. So he was not able to get in a as quiet a place as all of our starving artist friends or whatever who are able to join us. He was literally amidst some
in the store.
Furniture assembly and construction projects. So the audio is at times a little distracting. So we just wanted to give a disclaimer that this is not.
But push normal. Through it as you listen, because I mean, it's not horrible. Trust me, you've definitely heard worse audio. You've gotten calls from your mother before. But definitely listen to it, because the things that Andres was saying was so on point and so sort of exactly what's needed for the LGBT community right now, I think, in sort of reclaiming our place within the cannabis movement in a lot of ways.
And one, and he really, I mean, he enlightened us to a lot of things. I mean, I certainly didn't know half of the stuff he was referencing was really interesting. So it's worth listening to.
Previously, if you want to go back to a past episode of You're Making It Worse and listen to our chat with Paul Scott, which happened a while back, but he was literally the forefather.
Yeah, he was great.
Cannabis getting legalized in California,
San Francisco, right?
It was such a fantastic chat. I really go back, scroll down and listen to that chat with Paul Scott, because it's also a wonderful chat.
Fascinating.
After you listen to the Andres chat as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Elliot, did you smoke any ganja? As Elliot always says, he smokes the ganja. Did you smoke any ganja this weekend?
Smoke it through your mouth, Elliot.
Not this weekend. Not this weekend. No.
You don't smoke weed, do you?
I smoke. I mean, I only like to use pens. I don't like joints and
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't want. I don't like that. I'd prefer.
Although there is something super sexy about like taking the weed and putting it in a little paper and then roll.
Yeah. There's something ornate about it. That's like, so I agree. It's like kind of sexy.
To this day, whenever I look at a pack of cigarettes, I'm like, oh, they're beautiful.
Oh my God. I miss smoking every single day of my life.
You still miss it?
There is not a moment where I look at a patio or an outdoor eating place and I just don't fucking light up. I love to smoke. I'm so glad I don't smoke anymore. But oh God, it was the coolest thing I've ever done.
How many cigarettes did you smoke a day when you were a smoker?
It was a pack a day.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I smoked a pack a day for about 10 years from when I was like, I would say 8 years from when I was like 18 to 28. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a robust amount. Now all of a sudden I'm like, Alan's really cool. a massive dork to so cool.
I loved smoking. It was so great. It was just, I'm going to be on my deathbed and be like, remember when
I wish I'd smoked more.
But this is, I don't advocate for people to smoke, but me, I want to smoke every day of my life.
What if you become like, oh my God, what if like Marlboro gets like approval to do commercials again and Alan becomes like the new Marlboro man? Instead of a cowboy, it's like this effete gay man in Los Angeles who's just like, look, smoking's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Trust me.
I did smoke. I smoked Marlboro Lights for a long time. I started with Camel and then I went to Marlboro and then I went to the blue ones with the long stems. I forget. And then I ended, my last cigarettes was like the hardcore ones, which was Pall Mall Reds, where they had hints. It was basically what old men who are about to die and they just don't care about their lungs anymore. They just smoke the Pall Malls. That was me in the last few years in New York. And it was amazing.
What made you give it up?
My health. I wanted to lose weight. At that time, I was on a weight loss journey doing things in not the safest of ways.
Look perfect just the way you are. You're beautiful. You. But
all of my weight loss has over the years has never been healthy. And so I gave up smoking in order to lose weight and be healthier, which, it worked. I got really skinny, but I still want to smoke. I just want to smoke all the time. It's just
Maybe for your birthday, I'll buy you a pack.
No, don't do it, please. No. Don't do it.
Anyway, everyone, please enjoy our discussion. We were delighted to be joined this week by Andres Rigal.
We are here today with someone so fantastic, Andres Rigal from Green Queen, which, I mean, is a new dispensary right by Brent's Place, or it's going to be a new dispensary right by Brent's Place.
That's right.
Hello, how are you?
Good, hello. Good. We're so excited to talk to you because I heard about your dispensary coming to downtown Los Angeles, less than half a mile from my apartment. I can't wait to drop by and support. But also, it's not every day that you hear about an LGBTQ-owned dispensary in anywhere. So tell us about that. How's the process been for you?
I've been working on it for about 3 years, from basically seed to where we are right now, seed being like the idea and the opportunity. And it's been quite a journey. We got through the whole process of like filing our applications and whatnot. And then the long and short of it is like, right when we got our property, COVID hit.
Literally, we
signed our lease for our amazing, beautiful property in South Park. And then literally like 3 weeks later, COVID hit and the entire world shut down. So it's been a journey, and it's probably been the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's been blood, sweat, and tears and screaming and thinking I couldn't make it and all the things, but you know, since it's been so hard, it really makes me appreciate it, you know, even that much more.
Of course.
You know, if it was just easy and given to me, it would always mean something to me, but I just think at this point, you know, getting here where we are right now on this podcast, you know, me staring at my dispensary that's going to open in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Really, it's just so surreal.
It's a really interesting thing because I feel like I have a certain amount of, motivation and aggression to pursue my interests. And yet, with that said, there's no part of my brain that is capable of being an entrepreneur. Like even when every once in a while, I come up with a decent idea. I had a good one recently. What was it?
Weed dispensary, LGBTQ owned weed dispensary.
I just want to throw this out there. I had an idea recently for an invention, which was a nail clipper that has a hood of plastic that catches your nail for you. So it doesn't fly off. Anyway.
Because you want to save your nail clipper.
Right. Because I don't want them to fly off in the bathroom. But that said, it's just a part of it's so foreign to me. Have you opened a business before or did it just kind of,
This is the first like actual brick and mortar that I've ever opened. Yeah. And it's funny you say that because the thing is that I don't think I ever would have made it had I just been doing it for me. Like if I was just like, I want to open a dispensary, like it was so hard and so impossible that like, I'm afraid I might've given up a long time ago, especially with the circumstances of COVID and not. But the thing is that this process has always been bigger than me. You know, it's always been about the community and creating a safe space for my community, a space where I can, you know, help marginalized brands get into an industry where, you know, there's not a lot of LGBTQ people. And my background's in nightlife. I've been working in nightlife for about almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And, I do really big LGBT parties around the city. And, you know, all of my spaces are very intentional and I use them as stages metaphorically and literally for people to, you know, come into these spaces and present themselves and hopefully springboard into bigger and better things. And so with Green Queen, I wanted to also create a space where marginalized brands and LGBT brands, BIPOC brands, and female brands can come into our space and break into an industry that is so impossible to break into.
Yeah.
An industry run by cis white males, majority who struggle to represent queer people authentically other than showing up for a couple of weeks during Pride Month, which I think is great.
Yeah. You know? I was going to throw out that, like, I know I've read some articles that talk about how, you know, entering sort of the cannabis legalization movement, which has been so swift, it nonetheless, I think there was a lot of altruism or optimism that there was going to be sort of a different type of ownership for these dispensaries and for the businesses and for the growers and all these things. But, you know, as is often the case in this country and probably everywhere else for that matter, sort of the dominant force, you know, cis white men, have sort of dominated the business so far. And so I'm always heartened and encouraged to hear people who are trying to create other avenues. Go ahead.
And it's ironic too, because the legal cannabis industry as we know it today was founded by queer people.
Yeah.
Because of
was it really?
The crisis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know this. In fact, I didn't even know this until I got into cannabis, is that the first legal dispensary was founded by Dennis Caron in 1994 to help gay people suffering with HIV mm-hmm. and AZT, which was a very poisonous drug, to help people deal with HIV. So the first legal dispensary was founded for queer people by queer people.
Yeah.
And then the legal industry, as we know it from there, grew from that point.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, you know, we lost our place in cannabis, an industry that we founded. And we also lost our history in cannabis. So that's another really important cornerstone for me to continue telling the story, you know, and passing the knowledge down. And I don't even want to say we're the first, because we're not, you know, because Dennis Caron was the first, but it's like, I'm not coming into this saying like we're creating it. Like I'm more saying we're reclaiming it, you know?
Yeah. And we previously had on the podcast, Paul Scott, who was sort of the, a leading activist, LGBTQ activist, who sort of was a part of legalization of cannabis in California. And it's kind of incredible the connections that the LGBTQ community has to cannabis, but yet also so much of the community are the ones who are, you know, police enforcement against cannabis back in the day, and you know, trans women, people of color were incarcerated because of cannabis, and it's kind of wild where we've come, and having a place like Green Queen, I think, is a really good spot for community efforts to sort of come back and bring sort of the LGBTQ component of cannabis back to the community. And that's something I wanted to ask you, like, and part of sort of your founding statement is giving back to the community and sort of giving back to the LGBTQ community. I wanted to know what ways like Green Queen will be doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said before, touching on like dispensaries coming in and just supporting us, you know, during Pride Month and whatnot, or even like, you know, coming out some rainbow pre-rolls or coming out with billboard with some drag queens on it. And I think the representation is really amazing and I love to see it, but I'm kind of like, how is that really helping our community, you know, like where are the wheels touching the ground? So I wanted to the fundamental part of Green Queen was, you know, a lot of dispensaries, a lot of people in cannabis show up for queer people during Pride Month, like I said earlier, you know, they'll have rainbow pre-rolls, they'll slap a rainbow leaf on their window, they'll have a, you know, ads with drag queens and whatnot, but I think the representation is great and I love to see it. But for me, it's just like, how is that really helping our community? And where do the wheels touch the ground? So with Green Queen, the cornerstone and really fundamental part of what I wanted to create is use cannabis as a vehicle for change and a vehicle to move our community forward. So we're going to be giving 10% back to the queer community of our profits to build a community center in downtown LA.
Oh, wow.
And then fund it in perpetuity. And it'll be a center, you know, focused for homeless youth and testing and education and really just creating foundational change and using cannabis to do that. Because the thing is that the only reason that I'm able to be here today with this opportunity or even like live out loud as a queer person is because of the foundations and sacrifices that queer people made before me. You know, like whether it's marching the streets against Prop 8 for queer marriage or, you know, the AIDS crisis or whatnot. It's just that the only way we push the needle forward is if we do it, you know, like everybody, whether you're doing something gigantic or small, you know, we always have to kind of like create that foundation so the next generation has something to walk on and move forward. So Green Queen is just very like, I just really wanted to actually do something, you know, foundational with what we're doing. And each Green Queen we open, this is our flagship and our first, and we plan to open a Green Queen in every gay neighborhood across the nation. And so each Green Queen will give a percentage of its profits back to the local queer community, because I think it's just, you know, I think it's great to donate to a faraway charity. But I think it's a, for me, it's just like, I love to see the money cross the street.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see it, you know, like I want to see it
in action.
Exactly. Like a local community thing. You know, if you come by an ACE here, that it's going to a community center that you can see right there.
So before we wrap, let me ask you, like, so what is your relationship with weed in general? Have you always loved it? Has it always been a big part of your life? Or do you just see this as sort of like a great opening to help and connect with the community?
You know, I have kind of like the same story of weed with a lot of people. You know, I smoked it a lot when I was younger in college. Yeah. And as I got busier in life, I smoked it a little bit less. And I partake a little bit these days. I love drinkables and like low THC stuff.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like, I love the whole low THC, like Can and Drew Martin and all this stuff, because it's just like, if I get off work, I don't want to get like obliterated. But like, it's just like, it's like having a glass of wine. You know what I mean? Like, I can just do a little bit and still operate the next day, because these days I'm so crazy and I have to be operating at 100%. And also I just saw this as an opportunity that came across my desk. And for me, I looked at the industry and I just didn't see myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see myself for queer people in it. And I just like, I find it my responsibility, if I have this opportunity, to do something cool and interesting and within cannabis.
Well, that's Andres. We are so, you know, glad to hear this, and we're just proud of you for undertaking this endeavor. Where can people find your store, and when will it be open?
So we're going to be opening in the next probably 2 weeks. We are full speed ahead.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a soft opening on 4/23. It really just depends on all the pieces come together. But it looks like hopefully in the next couple weeks. But if people can check us out on Instagram at Shop Green Queen, or our website, thegreenqueen.com.
Yeah.
And our address is 1051 South Broadway. And that is right across the street from the Hoxton Improper Hotel, and a block from the ACE. So it's kind of like Broadway and Olympic.
Yeah.
Which is one of such a cool like nook of downtown. So
definitely.
1051 South Broadway. You can, it's called Green Queen.
Yeah.
And, W.
And also people who don't live in Los Angeles. I mean, there's still ways you should definitely follow Green Queen, because as Andre said, that it's going to be coming to every neighborhood across the US, hopefully.
Right.
So
support
Green Queen, and
support Green Queen.
Might come to your city.
Giving 10% back to the community. Andres Regal, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. And it's Queen with a W.
That's right. Queen with a W. That's correct. Green Queen with
a W. Yes.
And we'll have the link and everything in our Instagram and show notes and everything.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you guys for taking the time to find out a little bit about what we're doing here. And and you're my neighbor, so you should come down and check us out.
I will be there. I will, except I don't talk to my neighbors. But outside of that, yes, I will absolutely be dropping by and supporting. It was great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andres.
You too. Thanks so much.
And another thing.
Well, of course, when you smoke marijuana directly, whether it's sativa or indica or a hybrid, there are always fun names of strains. Famous ones that come to mind include Pineapple Express, and that's the only one I can think of.
I remember what Blue Dream was like when I lived in Brooklyn, and my roommate would order weed, you know, before it was legal, and I would always, and I'm not kidding, I would always hide in my room because I thought he was going to be murdered. So I was always hiding, but he would always buy Blue Dream, which had like a picture of Obama on it. Yeah. Obviously, this was during the glory years of Barack Obama as president, before we entered this enduring nightmare that we're in now. That said, Blue Dream was one of them, right? Is that a strain or just like a...
I think it's a strain.
Yeah, it's a strain, right?
Strain.
Yeah. And then our friend, I texted her about this because I wasn't sure I was speaking correctly when I said that she was named after a strain. But yeah, who? She named Alaska Thunderfuck.
Oh, yes. Yes.
After a strain called Alaska Thunderfuck or Alaskan Thunderfuck, probably.
Yes, I saw that. I looked that up and I was. That was named after her, right?
No, she named herself after that.
Oh, got it. Okay. Because I was like, they didn't credit Alaska.
No, she needs to credit that.
Yeah.
So she's named after that. And she texted me confirming that. So I'm glad that's confirmed. Yeah.
Well, we came up with our own strain names to represent each of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I can start with mine. My strain would be called Life on Marzipan. Because I love dessert. And I always imagine, you know, I'm always interested, of course, in the strains that are like, you know, cake and pie and cookie. There's even like a store in the Fairfax district called like Cookies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's sneakers or actual cookies or and it's like annoying, but it also is like, hey, if that's a strain, yeah.
I cookies. Love how your strain of weed sounds like something that would come from a Nora Ephron film. It sounds like Marzipan. Something that like Meryl Streep would get named after her, and it's complicated.
The listeners aren't aware of this, but I've started playing a game with Elliot. Maybe every week, at one point in the week, I've teased Elliot for the way he eats. I've never known anyone who only exclusively cares about desserts, and everything savory is like meh. And I will now once a week ask him what he had for dinner. And the answer is always literally I'll like text him at like 6 o'clock. He's like, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna have.
Yeah.
And then we find out he had like a handful of walnuts and some peas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even eat until like 9 usually. It's very European of me, but
oh my God, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I prefer to eat late. I just don't care. Like, I'm not against savory
what
foods.
Are you
of course, I enjoy
late,
them.
Though? Like, are you eating like hearty things late or?
Yeah. I don't know, something from like Trader Joe's, like a chicken dish or something. It's very boring. It's very like bland, chewy, like not chewy, but like bland diet. Yeah. It's like an Outward Bound instructor.
Yeah.
Post gym boring food.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to have calories at night, I'd rather it be chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. Okay. Yeah. So my strain is not as fun as yours, but mine is just what I do when I get stoned, which is my strain is YouTube Doc Hayes. And all I was thinking was that whenever I get high, I end up watching some of the darkest possible documentaries on YouTube, usually about plane crashes. And you often
text me about dark things, which I enjoy very much so.
I appreciate it. I'm so
you texted you me a video it. Once that was probably one of the funniest videos I think I have ever seen
what
in
did
my
I send?
Life. The interview with Stephanie, who was her name? The killer? She killed.
Stephanie Lazarus.
Yes, Stephanie Lazarus.
Famous interrogation.
We'll post it. Can I post the video,
yes,
please?
Of course.
Well, because it has you laughing in the background. I just want to ask. But he texted it to me saying, this is me at a Sadie Pine show. And it's literally this woman who murdered someone like 20 years earlier. And she's doing the craziest faces. Like,
oh, is that the way the lady you sent me recently?
Yes.
Oh, so, yeah. So, what a face.
She's being interrogated and she's being accused of, she's a cop. So she knows what interrogations are like. She's being accused of murdering someone, which by the way, she did. And she has the worst poker face anyone has ever seen. And that's why it's like this famous, like millions of people watch this interrogations. No, by the way, Alan, that is my face. The video I sent you was my face when someone invites me to a non-Sadie's Pines drag show. I have my only drag queen I care about in the world is Sadie Pines.
My favorite thing about Brent at a drag show is he is the only person that as I make my way through the crowd, you know, doing my thing, he will sit there with his dollar out. And he has a plate full of chicken wings, literally like a very large portion of chicken wings, just very messy. And he's just, it's the most gluttonous, happy moment I've ever seen anybody exist, which I love.
Well, we love your shows and we love going.
Thank you. I have one coming up in June. It's going to be an anti-pride show. You all should come.
Nice. Can't wait.
But my strain, I really thought about this long and hard because I'm not one of those hippy dippy people. You know what I mean? Like I'll use weed to like sleep and stuff, but like I would, again, like I said earlier, I would rather be smoking a cigarette. So my strain is very much on brand with me. It's Barbara Streikush.
It would be Barbara.
It's Barbara. I mean, yeah. She's Jewish. She's like queer. It's just, or she's queer to me. It's yeah. It's a perfect strain of weed for me.
That is a really good one. Now, when you guys did smoke, I know we aren't huge stoners here. Did you ever smoke from blunts or did you smoke from bongs?
Everything.
Oh, did you?
All of the above.
I could only do bongs.
Bongs?
Yeah.
Apple core?
No, I've never done it.
I've done it from a can. I've done it from, I'm telling you, I come from trash.
Yeah.
I've done it. There's so many things that people have made into bongs before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done it from everything.
How old were you when you first smoked weed?
13.
Oh, you were pretty. Yeah, I guess that was like,
yeah,
I think it was 13.
I was like 13, 14. It was right around when I lost my virginity.
And it must have been later. Yeah.
Virginity, so, yeah. Yeah. What about you, Elliot?
I think college, probably like freshman year of. Probably freshman year of college, maybe 18 or 19.
That's the first time you tried, as you call it, the ganja. Yeah.
Right. I never smoked a bong. I think bongs are so. I also went on a horrible date with a guy at his apartment and he kept ripping bong hits. And it was like, what is up? What are you doing?
What's happening? Yeah.
There are sometimes that people like make being high a lifestyle, which high all the time, but also please allow me to judge you when you're in my presence living that way, because you're annoying. For someone on the outside, if you are this person, just know that from the outside, people do find you annoying, and you can own that. You can own that. You can be in that world. I just find it to be so, like, sometimes it's just like, please just, if you can't read a Google map properly,
just chill out.
Chill out a little bit, just a little bit.
I have a couple friends, one very good friend in particular, who is high almost all the time and has been so for the last like 10 years, and you would genuinely never know.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. High all the time?
Not high, but like she will dabble in weed all day.
Do we know this person?
Yes, you know this person.
Oh, we'll talk about that when we're done recording. Wow.
And we're done.
What would your aunt say?
Brent, what would your Aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
I hate Dr. Pepper. Love Mr. Pibb. Which are, by the way, literally completely identical flavors, in case you've ever had a Mr. Pibb.
And they are?
I moved to Minnesota for my first year of college, and Mr. Pibb is for some reason really big there. It's everywhere. I cannot tell the difference between Mr. Pibb and Dr. Pepper.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Identical sodas. Sorry. Huh. Go ahead.
No, interesting. My aunt Joanne would say my strain of weed would be called Do the Horror. I think it explains itself. How about Aunt Anne? I mean, yeah, Aunt Anne.
For years, people used to think that I was getting high all the time because I'd always say I'm getting the munchies, but really I'm just a binge eater.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. We love her.
Anne. Family of binge
eaters.
Well, happy 420, everybody. If you get the munchies, drink more can. Just drink more can.
Drink more can. Mm. We love you, can. Drink it up, all of it.
Thank you, sweet sponsors, and thanks for listening. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I am Brent Sullivan.
I am H. Allen Scott.
And you can find us on social media at instagram.com/HAllenScott or Sadie Pines, instagram.com/Mr. Brent Sullivan or onlyfans.com/Spread Eagle for Elliot Green.
Gross.
Thank you.